Burke. Welcome, Bob. God bless you.
Thanks, Claude. They say that confession is good for the soul. So before we get started, a little confession this morning. For the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, I remember telling myself, after the last time I spoke, I don't know how long ago that was, I said, you know, if the pastor asks me to speak again, I'm just going to say no. Because I've got nothing to say. I got nothing to share. I'm just kind of getting through this time, and I'm just getting through it, and that's all there is. And so that's what I was doing, just getting through this phase. And probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was sitting back there in my usual spot, and the Pastor Bill was speaking, and he said a phrase. And just like that, I said, that's the next topic of my next talk, that's the title. I thought, okay, good. And right on cue, the next morning, I was getting ready to go to work. It was around 7:30 in the morning, and there's an email from Pastor Bill. Would you speak on the 21st or the 20th? So I sent back, I said, yes, I would. Thank you very much. And so here we all are today. So that phrase, and it was something he mentioned in one of his sermons, and the phrase is, can you spare a little change? Now, when I ask you that question, when I say, can you spare a little change, what comes to your mind? What are you thinking of?
Money.
Yeah, somebody's asking you for some money, right? Well, that's really not what this talk is about. I'm gonna ask you that question, can you spare a little change, but I'm gonna finish it like this. Can you spare a little change in the way you see and interpret that statement? In other words, can you take something that you've always looked at in one way and see it in a completely different way? So I wanna look at that, and when I'm asking you, can you spare a little change? I'm not asking you for money. I'm asking you if you can give up a little bit of yourself and have a little bit of change in your life. Can we spare to change a little bit? And so this morning I'm going to ask you if you can commit yourself to change just a little bit. And when I say just a little bit, I mean just a little bit. I mean just this much. Can you think you can change just this much? It doesn't seem like a whole lot, does it? So we're going to talk about that this morning. Now, this is, of course, the first day of spring, right? And this is the day that you go out and till the snow. And what would you plant today? Snowballs? But so we're going to talk a little bit about gardening this morning, and we're going to talk a little bit about growing in a garden. And this reminds me of the story of the farmer who had the most beautiful garden, and he spent so much time tending it and taking care of it and nurturing it, and it was just really nice. And it just so happened that the farmer's garden that was right between the manse where the local pastor lived and the church where the local minister was the pastor. And so every day the minister would walk by and he would see that garden and he would note to himself how beautiful it was. And then one morning he was walking to church and the farmer was in there and he was down on his knees and he was working and he was pulling some weeds and he was sweating. It was a hot day and the preacher said, "Good morning, Farmer Brown." And the farmer said, "Good morning, Pastor." And he said, "That is a beautiful garden that you and the Lord have." And the farmer looked up and said, "Oh, Pastor, you should have seen this place when the Lord had it all to himself." You see, they had a different perspective on really the same thing. But God very much does like gardens, and God very much involves himself in gardens. As a matter of fact, in Mark, we see where Jesus said, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground." And so when Jesus was teaching his disciples and he came to that to this story, it was a very important story, and he spent a lot of time actually in this whole concept. So is the kingdom of heaven. It's like a man casting seed into the ground. And God loves gardens. In Genesis 2 and 8, we read, "And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed." And then a little bit later on in Genesis chapter 3, we read, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day." And the garden really is a great place to meet God. So I'm going to ask you that question again. Can you spare a little change in how you see a garden? Can you just change a little bit in what you see when you look at a garden? In Isaiah we read, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought." How many here feel like they go through drought sometimes? Yeah. We all, you know what? We all do. We all go through times of drought when it seems that the grass is so much greener on the other side and everybody else has it going great. And yet here I am in the middle of this desert. Here I am in the middle of this drought. But no, he says he'll satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You see, the Lord says that we are, in fact, like a garden. You are like a garden. Your life is like a garden. And what do you plant in a garden? What do you plant in a garden? You plant seeds in a garden. Ah, all right, that's what we're going to talk about today. Mark chapter 14, verse 20 is our text. Where's my Bible? And I want to read just... The sower soweth the word. That's Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they... likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so Jesus tells us the kingdom of God is like someone that goes and plants seed in the ground. We also see that that seed is the word, because the sower sows the word. And we're like a garden. And different things are in that garden. And Jesus is talking here about the parable where all of us in our own lives, we receive a word, we hear something, we have an aspiration, we have a goal, we have a dream or something that's been planted in our hearts. And all kinds of things happen around us that will threaten that. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things that will cause us to neglect what's going on inside of us. Cause us to neglect the possibilities and the potentials of who we are and who we could become. You see, the seed is the word. The seed is the word that we hear. The seed is the word that we think about. The seed is the word that we act upon. And where does that seed come from? Well, it's pretty obvious in the context of church on Sunday morning that the word would be the word that the pastor preaches on Sunday morning, and we hear it. And you know, sometimes you're in the service. I'm sure we've all been there. We've been to a talk or a lecture or a sermon, and something about that has just grabbed our attention or our imagination, and we've taken it with us, and we've thought about it, and we've mulled it over, and it's had some impact on us. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. The seed falls on ground. If it's good ground, it will grow, and it will have an effect in our lives. But also the seed comes from our own selves in our everyday life, because our life is not really just Sunday morning for a couple of hours, right? I mean, this is a very small part of our week, just the tip of the iceberg, it's just one little thing. But mainly we're sowing seed every day in our own lives, with things that we speak, with things, with our attitudes, with our perceptions, with our beliefs. We're sowing seeds into our own garden. Luke tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So can you spare a little change? in the type of seeds that you are planting. Not only in your own lives, but in the lives of everybody that's around us. In Galatians we read, "For he that soweth," we're talking about seeds now, "he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You see, when you plant a garden, Sandy and I took a community course one year, and it was all about gardening. And I thought that was really interesting. And the guy, he said, "You know what? The first thing you do when you're planting a garden is you gotta lay out your garden, right? You gotta decide where the garden's going to be, and take into account where trees are for the shade and all kinds of different things, and where it's not going to be too much wind, that'll be too harsh, and so on and so forth." And then once you've got that done, and the thing that I got out of it was what struck me, and something I never conceived of before with a garden. He says, "Now you got to plan your staging area." And I'm going, "Staging area? What's that?" And he said, "That's where you dump all your mulch, and that's where you're going to have your compost and all that stuff, and that's where you're going to have the things from where you're going to work from." He says, "And then you're going to put out your rows, and you're going to get your map of what's planted where, and then you're going to decide what you're going to plant in your garden. And then, of course, that's when the real work starts after you do that, because then you've got to tend to your garden, right? You just can't plant it and just leave it." And so I want to focus a little bit on that this morning. What kinds of seeds are we planting in our gardens? So when you go down, I took a little drive out to Vessi's seeds this week. And there's all kinds of these packets, you know, here they are. There's some actual seeds in there. And there's different types of seeds, and the packages, they look very nice, lots of color and lots of pretty pictures. So here are three types of seeds. There's the wisteria. This is a beautiful flowering plant, right? And then we have the narcissus, which again, that's really beautiful. And then we have the lily of the valley, and that's very beautiful. So if you had a garden, and you filled it with things like this, it would look very nice. It would be very pretty, very beautiful. But the problem would be with that garden is that there'd be no sustenance in that garden, because it would just be nice looking, right? As a matter of fact, I chose these three plants for two reasons. First of all, these plants are all, even though they look very nice, they are all poisonous. They will harm you if you eat them. But also, these plants to me refer to something that I can, it's pretty easy to jump to a spiritual application from them. First one, the wisteria. Has anybody ever heard of Wisteria Lane? Of course you've had. Wisteria Lane is a fictional lane in a television show that was out years ago. And Wisteria Lane was a place where everybody had a big, beautiful house. Everybody drove a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW. Everybody had a pool in their backyard. They all had all kinds of money, and they all had a whole lot of problems. In other words, wisteria represents the outward show, right? It represents, you know, everything just looks really great on the outside. And if you think about it, we probably all know people that are like that. They look really nice on the outside. I heard it say one time, "He looked nice from far, but when I got to know him, he was far from nice," right? So it's very tempting to want to have everything looking just right on the outside. But if that's all you've got going for you, then that's not so good. It's pretty empty. And if that's all you have, it will kill you, right? The next one is the narcissus plant. Again, very beautiful, but physically poisonous. But narcissus, that's an easy one. Anybody ever heard of the story of Narcissus? You've heard the term narcissistic? Well, Narcissus was, back in the Greek days, a very beautiful, very, very beautiful. And so beautiful that, in fact, when he was leaning down into a pool to get some water, he saw his own reflection in the water, and he became enamored with his beauty and fell into a trance and fell into the water and died. So that's where we get that term narcissistic. So if the only kind of seeds that you plant in the garden of your life is about you, everything's about you, It's all about who you are and how you feel and making, you know, just everything about your own particular life. Well, just like in the physical world, these things are poison. But in the spiritual world, if that's the only plants that you're planting in your garden, that will hurt you. And the next one is the lily of the valley. And of course, it's obvious where I'm going to go with this one, right? Because we sing here, he's the lily of the valley. And that's one of the names for Christ. And certainly, we know what this means, Christ-like. But if you only have that on the outside, if you only have it on Sunday morning when you get up and put on your best and come and you act your best, and then for the rest of the week you just act that's really not very healthy. That's really not very good. And if the only seeds you have in your garden with regards to the Lord are how you look on the outside, then as Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are as whitewashed sepulchers. You're beautiful and white and clean on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. So the lily of the valley, while beautiful physically, it's poisonous. If that's the only seed you're planting in the garden of your own life, you might have the appearance on the outside, but when people really get to know you, it's like there's not really much there. These plants are beautiful to look at, but they have no substance. They're poison. If that's all we have in our hearts, if we take those things to heart, they'll hurt you. You have to decide to plant the right kind of seeds in the garden of your life. If you eat these, they'll hurt you. If you take them to heart, they'll hurt you. I'm going to talk about a different kind of seed. You can go to all kinds of seed places in Prince Edward Island, right? The co-op, right? And you can buy seeds. They're not in fancy little packets, right? They're not on the front of the aisle when you're buying your groceries. They're not there as a convenience item because you're going to throw some things in the flower pot. No, these seeds are found in 50-pound cloth bags, and they're usually back in the warehouse. These are the seeds that are not near as exciting. Right? These are the seeds that you take them and you plant them and they provide food, they provide sustenance, they provide life. But they're not near as exciting as some of these other seeds that are nice to have, but certainly you don't want to have just those other ones. You want to have some of these as well. And so this is what I'm going to talk to you about today. There's one of them right there. Right? There's one. So seeds for grain and seeds for wheat and seeds for barley and all that stuff that you plant that gives you life. So my challenge to you today is going to be this. Can you spare a little change in the type of seed that you're planting in the garden of your own heart? It's a very small thing when you do it. There's no big change. You know that farmer that we talked about when he went out And he planted his seeds. The garden didn't look any different. After he took however long it took him to plant those seeds, it still had all the rows were all there. It was still laid out. The staging area was still there. Everything was as it was the day he went in to plant seed, and he spent the whole day, however long it took, and he planted those seeds, and he never noticed any change whatsoever. Right? So it's the same with our lives. When we make a little change, sometimes it doesn't make any different. But you know what? When you're going through that valley, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and things don't seem very good, instead of planting one of these seeds that are just, they just last for a little while and they might look really nice and distract you from what's really going on, why not plant this kind of seed? Right? So instead of saying, you know what, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through. I just don't know how I'm going to get through this day. You can take a different kind of seed and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And plant that kind of a seed in your life. Instead of saying, man, I tell you, I feel so lost and I feel so alone and I just feel like I there's no help on the horizon. You can plant that kind of seed and it will take root and it will grow and you will see the fruit of that in your life. Or you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Plant that kind of a seed and see what happens. Where do those seeds come from? You say, well, they come from the Bible that I'm quoting, but no, not really. Because really, this book only really becomes alive. This is like a seed. And when does a seed become alive? When it's planted, right? And where is it supposed to be planted? In our hearts, right? I saw a politician, and this is not about politics, and I'm not going to get into it. I'm not giving my opinion on any of it. But I saw a politician last week, 2 weeks ago, and he was up in front of a crowd, and he said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I have a Bible. And he held up this Bible, and it was his, this is my grandmother's Bible. And by look at that, you just knew that he hadn't opened it in ever, right? So if that's how you look at this thing, and if you think, well, just quoting a scripture over something is going to make a difference, well, you're treating it like this is a book of incantations or spells. And it isn't. And it doesn't work that way. But when you take what's in there and you put it in here, now something special can happen. Something wonderful can happen in your life. In Philippians, we read, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, you decide what gets planted in the garden of your heart. And if all you do, if you let yourself just dwell on what's wrong, if you let yourself dwell on what's not working right, if you let yourself dwell on how tough things are, no one's going to deny that you're going through tough times. We all do in our own different ways. You can focus on that, and you can feed on that, and you can nurture that, and you can let that grow up in your heart and take root. Or you can say, you know what? I know all this stuff is there, but I'm going to believe this. I'm going to believe the best. I'm going to believe the possibility. I'm going to believe what can happen, what good can happen in my life, and I'm going to focus on that. I'm not denying that all this other stuff is there, but if that's all I'm feeding on, it's going to poison me. It's going to kill me. I'm going to make a decision as to what goes into the garden of my own life, and I have to make that decision every day. As I mentioned before, you know, having a garden is not just a matter of doing all that work, planting some seeds, and then going on vacation. Right? What's your garden look like after you come back from 2 weeks of vacation? It's full of weeds. Not only that, but the rabbits and whatever else goes in and eats all the lettuce, and they eat everything else, and it's all going to be gone, right? You got to take care of that thing, right? So remember, you're the one that plants the seeds, but you're also the one that's going to tend them in your own life. You plant the seed in your heart, you begin to meditate upon that, the positive, the good in life. There's lots of negative in life, but there's also lots of good. I heard somebody say, you know what? The clouds and the rain and the wind, they come and go. The sun and the stars are always there. They're always there. So when it's cloudy and it's stormy, I'm going to focus on the sun and the stars that are always there. The sun that gives me light and the stars that give me guidance, right? If you're a sailor. But they are always there. I'm going to think on those things. Proverbs tells us, as a man or a woman thinketh in his heart, so is he. The things that I focus on are the things that I become. We know that in the physical sense. You are what you eat, right? We all have heard that in the physical sense, but we are that much in the spiritual sense and the mental sense as well. In Hosea, we read this: sow to yourselves in righteousness. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, the good. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So can you spare a little change in how you tend your garden? Can you? Can you just spare a little change? Tomorrow when you're out and you're given an opportunity to see things one way, to harbor a thought one way, to have a sense and a feeling one way, can you spare a little change in how you react to that and plant that kind of a seed rather than the other type of seed? Can you do that? I think we can. Because, you know, how hard is it to plant one of these, right? You plant one when you get I'll probably have my first chance tomorrow. Now, if it was a typical day for me, I might have my first chance tomorrow to plant a seed on my way into work, especially if I live in a city, right? Because somebody's going to cut me off. Or, you know, it's okay, right? And I might have my second chance when I get in and I open up my email and the 40 emails come in overnight. There's another chance. And then there's going to be another chance. And every time I'm going to get a chance to plant a seed. And just when I do just one of these, it doesn't make much difference. But if I just keep planting them over and over and over again, all of a sudden, hey, you know what? That's a nice garden that the Lord has given you there, Mr. Farmer. People will start to notice, right? It takes time to build a good garden. It takes work. So if you're going to have a good garden, you're going to have to prepare the soil. You're going to have to prepare your own heart. In other words, you have to be willing. There's nothing, I think, more sad than a person that's 20 years old or 30 years old or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 years old, and their attitude is, well, I've learned all I'm going to learn, and I'm done with all the new stuff, and that's it. I am who I am. I remember one of my friends said, you know, people don't change. They just become more like themselves. I don't want that to be me. Right? So you got to prepare the ground. You got to be willing. You got to be open to receive something that's going to encourage you, to receive something that's new, that's going to help, that's going to be a light, whatever it might be. You have to be open to it. If you're going to have a good garden, you got to be willing to plant those seeds, and you got to do them on a regular basis, because they're only small, and all by themselves, you don't get much. That'd be a pretty small muffin if I had one germ of wheat. That'd be a pretty small loaf of bread. Right? Even Vivian, I don't think you make a good loaf of bread out of that. It'll be just a little, maybe just a lump, right? If you're going to have a good garden, right, you're going to have to pull some weeds. Because no matter who you are, those weeds tend to blow in. They blow in by the things that other people say, the things that you hear, the things that happen to you. You're going to have all kinds of opportunities to be offended in this world. You're going to have all kinds of opportunities to give up, to feel that you can't do it, to feel that the world is stacked against you, that nobody cares about you. You're going to have all kinds of opportunities to harbor those things in your heart. And if you don't pull those weeds when they're young, it's going to be an awful lot more work to pull them once they've been there and you've nurtured them for years and years and years, and that's just the way you become used to living. It's hard. It's hard. If you're going to have a good garden, you're going to have to get down on your knees. And you're going to have to do some work. You're going to sweat a little bit, right? If you're going to have a good garden, you're going to get your hands dirty if you have a good garden. If you're going to have a good garden, you're going to have to work at it. It's a labor of love. A good garden just does not happen on its own. Remember that farmer and that preacher? A good garden does not happen on its own. And sometimes when you're in a garden and you're doing the right thing, it's not easy. It's hard work. I think of Jesus before he was crucified and he was with his disciples. And where did he go? Into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he knelt and he prayed and he sweat as it were great drops of blood. And he said, Lord, if it be possible that this cup would pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. A garden takes some work, but it is a labor of love. Nice thing about when you're tending the garden of your own life is that you will never do it alone. Sometimes it feels like you're alone, but you'll never do it alone. In John chapter 20, verse 15, after Jesus was crucified, and Mary went to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. We catch the scene where somebody is speaking to her, and it says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Here's what it says next. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said, They have taken my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. You see, when you're in the garden of your own life, it might feel like you're alone, but you're never alone. Never alone. He is with you. It's a lot of work, but you're not alone. You see, from the Garden of Eden to the Garden of Gethsemane to the garden of your own life, God wants to meet with you. He wants to be part of you, part of your life, part of your opportunity, part of your possibility, part of who you are. Can you spare a little change in how you see life? And can you spare a little change in how you see death? You know, we read in John 19, Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher. And Jesus was laid in that sepulcher, and 3 days later, he rose. You see, in a garden, before something can come to life, something else has to die. That's the miracle of it. This little seed here, I could put that in a jar. And matter of fact, they found seeds in the pyramids of Egypt. I had the privilege, I guess, of standing in the burial chamber of Cheops of the Great Pyramid in Egypt. It was an amazing thing. But when they excavated those pyramids and for the first time, they found jars with seeds in them. They were 5,000 years old. And they took some of those seeds and they planted them, and guess what? They grew. They grew. You see, this thing has got life inside of it. But this thing has to die in order for something else much greater to have life. You've got life inside of you. You've got your own life, but to a great degree, some of it has to die before something else starts to bloom. You know, those hurts, those things that you've been harboring, they have to die. They're part of you. They have to die before something else comes up that's going to bring forth life. Those old habits, they have to die until new habits, so that new habits can be formed. You see, before you can have life, something else has to die. Paul the Apostle wrote in Galatians chapter 2, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So my challenge is not to focus on you, focus on him. Not to focus on the present, focus on the possibility. Not to focus on the dark, to focus on the light. Not to focus on the problems, to focus on the solutions. The solution. Can you spare a little change in how you? Here's where I'm not going to say anything more, because you're the only one that can answer the rest of that question. Can you spare a little change in how you, and now you can fill in the blanks? Because each one of us is different. Each one of us has that opportunity, whatever that area is in the garden of our own life, to say, you know what? It's not going to be this way anymore. I'm going to make a change. And I'm going to start planting some of these types of seeds, not the other ones. I'm going to start tending the garden of my heart, because I believe it. If you're now, I'm pretty honored that friends and family are here. And a couple of nights ago, I sat down while I was watching television, and I had the most delicious bowl of ice cream and strawberries. And you know who you are. But when you planted that garden and you did that work and you were out there in the sun and with the flies and with everything else going on, when you were pulling those weeds, you saw those strawberries, didn't you? They were ripe. You knew that you were going to have a harvest. You knew it was coming. Even when you planted those seeds and you couldn't see a thing. Even when they started growing and other weeds came in, you had to go and pull them. You knew that harvest was coming. Even when the rains came and they got knocked over because of whatever, and you had to go in and tend them, you knew it was coming. Even when you had to keep the critters away from getting them, you knew that the harvest was coming. You believed it. That's why you put in that work. And the result is a beautiful dish of ice cream and strawberries. Your life is no different than that. You have to believe. You have to see the possibility of your life, and you have to tend that garden. And if you do, you'll see amazing results. So in closing, can you spare a little change in what you go out and do tomorrow? Amen.